Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast on Monday, the 30th of October, 2023. I'm Andy Eubank. Joining me today, Eric Pfeiffer, Sabrina Halverson, and Elise Koning with the news. The podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more and stop by your local branch to talk about your ag operation. On the news, we'll talk the nation's cattlemen and their opinion on the new House Speaker. Also, an explanation of solar grazing. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin details Arctic air. And the Friday soy complex led the way in the ag markets. Analysis with Brian Basting on the Monday Hoosier Ag Today podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we know that when agriculture thrives, we all do. It's the heart and grit of our agricultural communities that keep the crops coming in and the livestock cared for day and night. That's why we build financial solutions around the needs and schedules of our ag clients. If you're looking for a financial partner that has over 135 years experience in understanding and supporting agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's harvest success together. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Making agriculture your life's work comes with challenges that can leave you feeling alone. I'm Bruce Kettler, President and CEO of the Agribusiness Council of Indiana. And when you're a member of ACI, you have agribusiness advocates in your corner, similar agribusiness members to network with, and opportunities for continued education. If your business serves Indiana agriculture, we need your perspective and hope you'll become a member of ACI. Visit inagribiz.org. The Agribusiness Council of Indiana, strengthening and connecting Indiana agribusiness.
The new speaker's record on agriculture and the benefits of solar grazing. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association calls the new Speaker of the House a real win for agriculture. Our Sabrina Halverson has more.
NCBA's Vice President of Government Affairs, Ethan Lane, says Speaker Mike Johnson of Louisiana has not served on the Agriculture Committee, but he has a strong voting record when it comes to agriculture.
He has been a pretty reliable supporter of what agriculture has asked for. He's a guy who has voted for the farm bill. He's a guy who has voted for ag appropriations bills. I mean, he's been a supportive member of Congress for agriculture.
Lane says the NCBA has supported Johnson since he was first voted into office in 2016. And Lane says Johnson has shown to have strong principles.
He's very resolute in his view of those principles. He is for free markets. He is for individual liberty. He is for limited government. And those tend to be values that overlap very strongly with most cattle producers around the country and certainly with NCBA's policy book. And because of that, we've been long supporters of Mr. Johnson's. He is going to bring a fresh perspective, I think, to these conversations.
Johnson also has been known to disregard climate science, but Lane says he doesn't think that will be an issue despite the Biden administration's consistent push for what it calls climate-smart agriculture.
I'm not terribly concerned about that. I've seen all the same clips everybody has dug up, and you know, I don't think he has said anything that's wildly different than what other members of the House Republican Conference have sort of said at various points in the last 10 years in this climate conversation. I think it's an evolving conversation like anything else. I think as agriculture has learned what an important role we play in that conversation and how beneficial we are in moving the needle in the right direction on climate, our own rhetoric and our own conversations about climate have changed, and I wouldn't expect anything different from members of Congress on Capitol Hill.
Speaker Johnson said he intends to keep the House on a busy schedule in coming weeks. However, Lane expects the farm bill will not be one of the items they complete this year. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
All right, Sabrina, thanks. If you've thought about starting a new livestock venture or you're interested in farming but don't have any land, Elise Koning has an opportunity for you to consider.
That opportunity is solar grazing. It's a practice where sheep producers are paid to graze their animals under solar panels. Colin Kennedy of Knightstown is one Indiana sheep farmer who grazes his flock on a solar farm.
The sheep are actually doing the vegetation management on the solar site. All these solar sites have a really good exterior fence, so all we're doing is bringing the sheep in there and letting them eat that grass and keep it down so that it does not shade over the panels and block those panels from getting sun.
Kennedy says it's easier to control the vegetation on the solar farm by grazing sheep than by using a mower or weed eater.
The sheep can kind of freely move around. And the other thing is that I think it's getting harder to find the labor to actually have people out there to mow it and to keep that down. For the sheep, you know, they go out there and do the job and can get around all that small stuff.
For Kennedy, having the access to the land is one of the biggest benefits of solar grazing.
It is so hard, especially in Indiana, where it's very competitive for land between crop farming and things of that nature. It can be nearly impossible to have access to the land to even graze them on. So that's an advantage, and the advantage is the solar company actually paying you to do the service. So that kind of gives you an extra revenue stream to be able to get more sheep or improve your building.
He adds that when it comes to taking care of the sheep, solar grazing does take some adjustment.
You have one out there that has a foot issue. You know, you're not there at home with your home barn and your corral and everything to where it's just, run them in the corral and give her a shot or trim her feet. So I'd say that's the biggest issue, is just trying to stay on top of that and making sure that you're able to round those up and go through everybody.
Kennedy says that more sheep farmers and solar companies are looking into solar grazing.
For sheep farming, I see it as a great opportunity to grow and expand just, you know, really because of the economic benefit of it. We're going to need a lot more sheep in the area if things go the way they're going.
To hear the full interview with Colin Kennedy and learn more about solar grazing, visit HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Elise Koning.
Can't get enough of Hoosier Ag Today? Well, one, we appreciate that. Two, we've got good news for you. The new Hoosier Ag Today mobile app for iPhone and Android will launch later this week, November 1. More details at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit MidAmerica see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Clouds will be breaking up as we move through the start of this week. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. The number one story again is cold air. Nothing's changed since last time we talked to you late last week. Arctic air is on the move. I'm seeing right here this morning the Arctic high centered on southern Minnesota, a secondary branch of the high down in central Kansas, and another high or an analyzed high in the boot heel of Missouri. So this means that this Arctic air is making serious progress south and east. I think as the clouds break up here this afternoon, we'll see sunshine, temperatures chilly but not brutally cold yet. But our first hard freeze is on its way to the area tonight. Clearing skies will help temperatures drop easily down into the mid and lower 20s. That's the first of four back-to-back-to-back hard freezes. Tomorrow we see sunshine, but I don't think we bounce much more than the mid to upper 30s in the north and probably mid 40s in the south. Overnight freezes again Tuesday night. Looking for a mix of clouds and sunshine on a Wednesday. Minor disturbance passing through the Great Lakes tomorrow night into Wednesday will bring a little bit more cloud cover around, but I don't look for precipitation in Indiana. Lake effect in Michigan, sure. But what that secondary wave does is bring a reinforcing shot of cold air. So we're quite chilly for Wednesday and still well below normal on temperatures for Thursday with freezes, hard freezes overnight Wednesday night and Thursday night. Finally, we get onto the backside of this Arctic high on Friday and temperatures start to moderate. And that takes us back to near normal highs for Friday afternoon. And we're looking pretty nice for Saturday and Sunday. Hey, is there one thing that's missing from that entire week-long stretch that I just talked through? Yeah, that's right. Precipitation. None of it. All right. So after the soggy finish to the weekend that we saw yesterday and even into the early morning hours this morning, we are precipitation free from this afternoon right on through Saturday, right on through Sunday. Now, overnight Sunday night into next Monday the 6th, yes, I do see another frontal boundary headed towards us. That's going to bring scattered rain showers. Right now, I'm looking at a quarter to three quarters of an inch with coverage at about 90% of Indiana. And some cold air comes in behind that, but it's a much shorter-lived cold air surge, and we're back to above normal temperatures probably by next Wednesday, and we're looking at a mostly dry finish to next week as well. So I do think there are windows of opportunity to get into the field. Rains over the past 24 to 36 hours have generally been steady but very light. It's not like we picked up massive amounts of moisture in a lot of areas. That's a good news item too. I think we can get back to field work pretty easily the second part of this week and hold on through the weekend. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every farm needs a good set of hand tools. Well, here's one that's free and one you'll find yourself reaching for several times a day. Beginning November 1, the new mobile app from Hoosier Ag Today will be available. Up-to-the-minute markets, weather, and breaking farm news about U.S. and Indiana agriculture will be on your mobile device 24/7. The Hoosier Ag Today app will be available at the Apple Store and Google Play beginning November 1. Listen for more details this week here on Hoosier Ag Today.
Soybeans lead the way. This is Hoosier Ag Today and the Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Ian DeEubank. A very solid soy complex led the way as the markets exit the week with some gains. Settlements coming up. First, market analysis. And for that, I checked in right in the middle of trade Friday with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Strong bean move on this Friday, Brian, as we talk midday. Corn just a little higher. But let's start with beans. Support really coming from a number of different areas, especially soy oil and very strong soy meal.
No question that the products are supporting the beans, Andy, and you hit the nail on the head that soybean meal, December meal on Friday made a contract high. We are really seeing some strong export business. Export sales are a multi-year high, if not multi-decade high, for soybean meal, and that's a direct reflection of that short crop that Argentina had earlier this year because of their drought. And so basically the U.S. is the shop in town for soybean meal right now. Brazil has sold a little bit more soybean meal than usual, but they can't begin to meet the needs of the soybean meal community around the world. So it's an impressive market right now. The bean market is itself climbing back higher towards that $13 mark in November. I think I'd remind your listeners, though, without getting too far ahead of ourselves, that we still have record export shipments of beans from Brazil that are being seen. So our bean export program is still under some competition from Brazil. That's going to fade as the rest of the year proceeds here, rest of calendar year proceeds. And we will be the main shop in town for beans for a little while. But just to remind your listeners that as you get into 24, then, of course, well, it's the size of the South American crop. Once again, we're in a weather market already in South America with the dryness in northern Brazil and the excess rain in southern Brazil. So, but for the moment, beans have rebounded a bit here, shown some life. And we'll see going forward here. I think we're going to move into a weather market. What happens in November and December will be critical in Brazil for the bean market.
U.S. military strikes in Syria on Thursday night. Seemingly that helped prop up the crude oil market on Friday. Was that also a factor in the soy complex?
Yeah, I think it all kind of blends together, Andy, going into a weekend too. Any type of short covering that you may see. Again, I believe you and I talked about this before, that with this whole unsettled geopolitical situation into a weekend, a risk-off strategy in terms of from the short side, anytime you get into some chaotic, unpredictable circumstances, which we're in now, unfortunately, that leads to some cautiousness, some short covering here on a Friday, not only in the corn market. We haven't gotten to corn yet, but also, as you said, oil has been under some pressure the last week or two, but we're just going to have to wait and see what shakes out over there because the oil market can be extremely unpredictable. And so, yeah, going into weekend, we'll see how things look Sunday night and Monday, if there's been any significant change in the status of that.
Let's go ahead and talk about corn, which you alluded to. Very good export sales report on Thursday. Still some trouble finding a footing and making a move higher.
Yeah, it was an interesting sales report because that sales report, Andy, was actually through October 19th, which was one day before the last time that December corn closed above $5. So They may have gotten some end users to sneak in there and buy corn. As I look at the chart here, it was trading about 480 to 490 most of that week before it did pop up. So the end users apparently put their toe in the water, as it were, and bought some corn from the U.S. Mexico has been a dominant buyer. They've been really aggressive, a multi-year high in sales from the U.S. Or by the U.S. to Mexico. And as we go forward, that will be a supportive factor. Having said all that, we're still seeing very weak demand from all the other destinations, Andy. When you look at China, it's non-existent compared to the last 3 years. Obviously, Brazil has taken over that market. Some weak sales also since some Far East areas. Besides China, we got some weak demand also being seen from sales to other Asia, for example, are not anything special at the moment. Again, Brazil taking over that market. So I guess I'd just say that overall the sales of corn, primarily due to Mexico, are above last year at this point. But a big caution note is that Brazil has just started their big export program for corn, and that thing could go on for several weeks now, or I should say several months, all the way into early 24. So we got a lot of competition in the corn export market. And that's kind of keeping a lid on things down here at around 475, 480 for December futures.
Also, as we move into wheat, is that kind of putting a lid on the corn futures market as it trades over a nickel lower? What about the humanitarian corridor and ships getting halted there?
Yeah, it certainly is another wild card to watch. The Kansas City market, I know that's not what your listeners, but that's looking at a contract low. Chicago's getting ready to challenge a contract low here in December. But it's just been a grind, lower, sideways to lower, all the way down here for wheat, searching for demand. Some wild cards out there, but it turns out, Andy, that the Southern Hemisphere crops are a little better than what we thought. The Australian crop seems to be stabilizing with some late rains here in October. In the south, mainly in the southeast, and they've also lived off some good subsoil moisture that the production estimates are no longer falling there. And we've also got some rain in Argentina, two big competitors in the world export market, and then are no longer, it feels like, shrinking in terms of crop size. So wheat is searching for demand down here and yet to really find its footing. I do think, though, Andy, looking over to 24, a couple of things your listeners are well aware of, is that the soybean harvest has been quite slow in the eastern Corn Belt. Places like Michigan are well behind. Indiana's behind. Ontario, Canada's behind. I don't think we're going to get in near as many soft red winter wheat acres this fall as you did a year ago in view of that. Plus, the scrap insurance price this year back in mid-August, mid-September, was much lower than it was last year. We had a big incentive to plant. So looking down the road, maybe there's some support as you move it later with a smaller acreage and crops for 24, but for 23, it's searching for demand at the moment.
Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. On the Hoosier Ag Today Friday Farm Market Review, the numbers by the end of the session. December corn, 480 and three quarters, up a penny and a half. March goes up 2 cents, 495 and a quarter. Beans, a better picture. November, 1297 and a quarter, 17 and three quarters up. January contract, 13.19 and a half, a gain of 19 and a quarter. Down 4 cents. December wheat, 575 and a half. Livestock markets strong and a very good close. December live cattle, 182.22, up 290. December lean hogs, 70.47, up $1.85. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm radio network.